The problem seems to be one of organization, or lack thereof. This exam format. In the live program, I'm pointing at the figure in diagram 2. A bunch of crazy facts, make legal sense out of them under severe time pressure. It's so confusing, so intimidating. We've got thousands of law students going into hundreds of exams with strategies, expectations of success, and within 10 to 15 minutes of the start of the typical law school exam, upward of 85% of law students are reduced to a response so typical, so predictable, that I can describe fairly precisely how most law students take their exams. I'll take a few minutes to do that, because there are lessons here in what must be avoided. If you've taken a law exam, you'll doubtless recognize much of yourself in this description. If you've never taken a law exam, well, it may be that you have to experience one to fully appreciate the pressure and confusion I'll describe. Imagine it's 9 a.m., start of a 4-hour exam. The subject is property, or civil procedure, or secured transactions, or agency, or bankruptcy. It's all pretty much the same. 50, 75, 125 students gathered, occupying every other seat. It's a highly charged atmosphere. Whew, whew. Everyone's nervous, adrenaline is pumping, but you're also confident. Oh, you know a lot of law. Principles, case names are churning in your brain. Bring on the exam. Exams are handed out. Sometimes they're already on the desk and you're told when to begin. You begin. Well, the first thing you'll do is look over the instructions. Typically, there's a cover sheet of orientation instructions. Assume that state law applies. Write on every other page. Support your conclusions. Label your blue book in the following way. That's what you write or type your response in. These days it may be a disc or even sheets of paper. But students used to write their responses in blue-covered booklets. You should investigate each professor's policy on writing, typing, and use of a laptop. One of the advantages of looking at old exams, sometimes you can find past exams of your professors, but often not, is that such instructions tend to repeat themselves. If you've seen the instructions or similar instructions before, this can save a little time and confusion at the outset of the exam. You glance over the instructions, but within the first minute or two, everyone, including you, does the same thing. What is it that students do? Plunge into the first hypothetical, scanning the facts. 10, 15 seconds go by. A few heads pop up, looking around nervously. Why? Because 10 to 15 seconds into the first hypo, often you don't see anything reminiscent of the course. There's a fleeting thought. Am I in the right room? Should I be down the hall? Some students look around just to confirm that their classmates from Tort Section 1 are present. Okay, you're in the right room. Back into the hypo. You read through it once. You read through it twice. 3, 4 minutes tick off the clock. Perspiration beads on your forehead. You feel a tightness in your chest. You think, this is crazy. You know all kinds of law, but as to this first hypo, you're drawing a blank. You don't see any issues. Whatever an issue is. Out of the corner of your eye, you see someone writing furiously. You hear the tap-tap of keys typing. This annoys you. What could they be writing about so soon? Maybe it's just a letter home. Dear Dad, I'm 5 minutes into the exam and I don't see any issues. Is that business school option still open? You decide this is probably one of the tougher hypos on the exam. You're comforted by recalling a professor's advice to read through the entire exam before you put anything on paper. On to the next hypo, and the next. You go through the entire exam, scanning fact patterns, attempting to spot issues, whatever that means. But everything is a blur. Legal knowledge is churning in your brain, but you can't seem to bring anything into focus. You feel your heart pounding. 10, 12, 15 minutes tick by. The time is flying, yet you haven't put anything on paper. At this point, 10 to 15 minutes into the exam, most law students are frustrated because the exam isn't providing a fair opportunity to do what you really want, which is what? To regurgitate all the law you've memorized, to fill the blue books with rules and principles. Look at all the law I've memorized, Professor. Indeed, as fatigue from too little sleep settles in, you wonder, what am I going to do for the next 4 hours? Because you've only seen two or three things that seem legal and relevant to discuss. Now a sense of panic begins to rise. A student told me she had to leave the room 5 times to smoke a cigarette. Probably not an option these days. Once in a while, someone simply gets up, walks out, and that's the end of a budding law career. But most law students are pretty tough. You take a deep breath, you go back to the beginning, back to that first hypothetical where your mind was a blank. At this point in the live program, I point to the figure on diagram 2, and you call on whatever exam writing wisdom has come your way. One of your professors said, "Read the facts carefully." That's useful. Every word, every phrase has issue-generating significance, whatever that means. Make notes in the margin, outline your response, develop a timeline, follow the transactions, go through your checklist, get yourself organized, circle important words, pay attention to adverbs, to adjectives, to colons, to semicolons. I once had a competitor who advised, gather the Easter eggs. When you boil down the standard advice on how to spot or identify issues, it describes a haphazard process. It basically says, go in there and find some issues. So with bated breath, 15 minutes into the exam, you go back into that first hypo, and all of a sudden, at this point in the live program, I color in a small circle on the figure in diagram 2. Yeah, there's something. Well, what is it? A major issue? A minor issue? 15 minutes into the exam, you could care less. Thank goodness, it's something I think the professor wants me to talk about. With a gush of relief, you put pen to paper, fingers to keys. The floodgates open. You write. Type furiously, filling the page. Anything and everything of a legal nature that pops into your frontal lobe, however tangentially related to whatever it is you saw in the facts, you throw it down. Refer now to diagram 3 and consider portion A. Stop. Continue. The furious response calms you a bit. You see something else you think the professor may be interested in. I color in another circle on the representation of a hypothetical. You're not sure where the initial discussion ends and the next begins. One sort of merges into the other. Note the scribble between the circles on diagram 3A. So typically, students don't label too carefully what they're doing. It's hard to label it if you're not sure what it is, where it's going. Often law students don't stop for paragraphs. They engage in a kind of spontaneous, fugue-like response, filling the blue book. In the live program, I'm now at the blackboard, making one circle after another, see diagram 3A, in no particular order. Oh look, this reminds me of a case. I'll discuss that, a circle. And here's something else, another circle. Oh, I forgot to mention this. You're thinking, boy, I didn't see all this stuff before. I do know a lot of law. You feel much better as you fill the blue book.